Well, you too. Saturday night at the Sphere. Spectacular. So, this was a really funny tweet inside the Mason and Ireland Mafia. It is from Mailman Matt. He says, "We deserve this." He's quoting me. "We deserve the nice stuff as Dodgers fans." He says, "Is about as tone deaf as Mahomes crying about the call last night. The rich get richer and act like they are on welfare." Yeah.
A little bit. I kind of laughed at you, too.
Yeah, I know.
We deserve this. Poor Dodgers, after
two exits.
I know, but they also won like a million regular season games.
What's the point of that?
I know.
Why?
Right.
Why?
I know, but tell that to somebody who roots for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in a long time. Tell that to a Rockies fan.
We deserve nice things, Rockies.
Yeah.
Angels, we got your nice thing.
Oh,
I'm going to defend the Angels coming up, but first
I'm waiting for it because I can't.
Oh, you had breaking news. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hit the breaking news.
According. Let's do it twice. Why not? I'll say it again. Ready?
Yeah.
According to Mark Stein and Chris Haynes, the Lakers are soon expected to announce that they will actually indeed hang the banner from the in-season tournament up at Crypto.com Arena.
There you go. They will hang the banner. I wonder who had the final say on that. I'm trying to think who might have said you must hang the banner because we want to make sure that the in-season tournament is legit. Could it have been, I'm just guessing, could it have been Adam Silver?
Oh, that's a really good point.
Probably exactly what's happening. And by the way, Shams jumped in and he's also saying it will be a single forever banner hung on December 18th.
Forever banner!
Where future dates will be added should the franchise win additional
in-season tournament titles
in the future. So it'll be one with just dates on it.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like, where does it go next to the championship banners? Like how? The other side.
Yeah.
Where the Clippers banners are.
Yeah, by the Clippers banners. That's good. Okay, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Manhattan Beach. Mark, you're on 710. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Great Saturday in L.A. with Ohtani signing and the Lakers winning the Eastern Cup. But I have to disagree with you guys. The bigger signing is LeBron, and it's not even close in a landslide because – as great as Ohtani is, he's kind of a bland personality. He really doesn't want to talk. And let's face it, he's been in, I know it's Anaheim, but he was there in Anaheim for 6 years. They couldn't even make the playoffs with the two best players in the sport and two of the best of all time. So I don't think it's even really remotely close. And I've been to games there in Anaheim when he's playing, and he's as awesome as he is, there was a lot of empty seats. So him coming to the Dodgers, I know it's a big deal, but I think it's just way overstated as opposed to LeBron, who we know moves the needle worldwide. And I was just looking for comparison while you guys were talking about this topic.
Sure.
Their Instagram following, he's got about 6 million. LeBron's got over 150 million. So
yeah, that's a fair point.
I think Ohtani's an all-time great player, but I just don't think he's kind of a bland personality. I don't think he captivates the imagination of people outside of Asia like LeBron does. You're going to have a reaction to LeBron. Love him or hate him, you're going to have a feeling about him. Ohtani's just, he's a great ball player, but outside of Asia, I really don't think he captivates people besides being a great ball player.
Okay, that part I'll disagree with.
Yeah, that part I disagree. You made a lot of good points there, Mark, but that last one I disagree
with.
Yeah,
it's like we just need an editor. It was a really good call.
No, it was a really good call.
And then we just should have clipped it off at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really good. Because Ohtani is like the new Babe Ruth. Like, there's never been anyone like him. He is a singular one-of-one unicorn in baseball who can pitch and hit 50 home runs a year. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's never been he's the best baseball player of our lifetime, certainly.
That's fair.
If you want to include Babe Ruth.
Is there another guy who pitched and hit?
The way he did?
And Babe Ruth wasn't as good of a pitcher.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Yeah.
Ohtani's a really good pitcher. I know he's not going to pitch next year, but you know.
He's going to ultimately. Hang on. Fred in Pasadena. It is our 205 call of the day. Fred, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
There it is.
Mace, this is the creative mind behind Macy Green a couple months back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. So, Mace, by the way, that dude, Mark, that was a clown call, bro.
I mean,
it was good until the end. He was rolling, and then
what was clowny about it?
One step too far.
you're looking at Instagram to measure the impact? Come on, bro. That's a call, that's a clown call, bro. Anyway, Mason and Momo, I have on behalf of the city of Los Angeles, I have penned a letter to Shohei. This is something that I have waited years and years for.
Wow.
And so read this out loud to you all
okay.
on the air.
We're ready.
Dear Mr. Ohtani, first things first, let's drop the prefix because by the time you hang them up, I'll have bought so many tips. To the great Shogun show. Damn, look at that ravine glow. I was born in 1988, 2 months after the Gibson Slam of Fate. 35 years I've waited. Each season ended ill-fated. So Saturday, I celebrated in Pasadena, so damn elated, like a drunk hyena. But now you are here. My God, $40 a beer. I am short on air time, so I leave you with one more rhyme. Shohei, my homie. Arigato gozaimasu, pero en el futuro, it'll be se va más. Home runs galore will be the stadium score.
Oh, that is...
friend, Fred.
There you go, Fred. Thank you. That was very good, Fred. A lot of
Shohei, my homie.
Shohei, my homie.
That was the best line.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
Yeah. Are we gonna take Patrick O'Neill's thing of
Segoy?
What's that mean?
That's what it was like.
Yeah, what's it mean?
I don't know.
You brought it up.
He was, well, I forgot what exactly what the word.
Somebody tweet us and tell us.
Somebody tweet us.
Yeah. No, but it was like he'd hit home. Can't speak.
Yeah.
He'd hit a home run and say Segoy.
Segoy.
Yeah.
All right. So I was going to defend the Angels. I wanted to defend him.
Shohei, my homie.
Yeah.
So
I
awesome.
I understand why Angels fans are devastated today. Totally get it.
Yeah.
And let's face it, they've got a terrible owner. But I don't, and I know it's easy now to look back with 2020 vision and say, yeah, they should have traded Shohei Ohtani. You know, at the moment they could have, the Angels were within, I think, 3 games of a playoff spot. And I understand why they decided we're going to make a run. Obviously, it did not go well. The entire decision fell apart, but I understood why they made it. They said, You know what? Our one chance to keep Ohtani is probably to make this run, get into the playoffs, do some damage, then he considers staying. So I thought it was worth the run. It's a disaster now,
yeah.
But essentially it's a teardown. They're going to tear it all down
yes.
is what they're going to do
yeah.
Without Ohtani. But I do understand why they didn't trade him when they had the opportunity. Do you?
I do. I think it's like this. It's a typical sunk cost thing. Like the longer you wait, the harder it is to trade him
yes.
because you get less and less in return. But then you also have to accept the idea that he is probably leaving. And while they had a chance, the way you live with yourself is to say like, well, we gave it everything we could.
Yes.
You know, we tried, we went all in. And I don't blame them for not trading him because of where they were positioned. I just think it wasn't done well, it was done way too late. The strategic thinking is off. Like, you should have done it. If they were going to go all in and get all those pitchers, they should have done it a year earlier. Like, you have, once you get Shohei, you're on the clock.
Right.
You have Mike Trout. You've wasted his career. Wasted it. He's never been to the playoffs.
Once. First year.
First year with Torii Hunter. Yeah.
Out in three.
That's it.
Yeah.
One hit. It was a home run.
Yeah.
That's all he's ever done. One
hit. That's terrible. And like, Artie Moreno thought about selling the team a couple years ago.
Last winter.
It was in March that he pulled the team off the market.
Yeah.
Do you know who wanted to buy them? Do you know who had like deep conversations and real conversations about buying them? I'm not trying to say this to rub it in or pour salt in the wounds for Angels fans.
Okay.
Joe Lacob and the Warriors.
Oh.
Joe Lacob grew up a mile from Angel Stadium.
Wow.
That is the team for him to buy. He grew up a mile from Angel Stadium.
Boy, they need Artie to sell.
Light years ahead.
Yeah, light years Lacob, man. Struck at Golden State. What he would do for the Angels, resources, all that stuff.
They're valued at, in the latest Sportico, it was like $2.7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're valued at after Shohei's gone? Like, how much does he hurt the franchise value?
So how much is it now? Or was it? How
I don't
was
know.
It?
It was 2.7.
2.7. You know, 2.7 is a bargain, actually, for a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah,
is
for baseball. But I think they have stadium issues. They probably need to do like $100 million in work.
They have no stadium going for them. So, yeah, I'd probably say probably $500 million.
Ooh.
Don't you think?
Yeah. You think about it. You just said it's $400 million every year.
All those sponsorships that were at Angel Stadium are now being transferred to Dodger Stadium. The revenue transfer is unbelievable here.
I mean, you talk about it in basketball. You go, that's a four-point swing.
Yeah.
That is a billion-dollar swing.
Yeah.
From Anaheim to Los Angeles to Chavez Ravine.
Damn.
It's like a year.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's a great weekend. Great weekend. And the Lakers, by the way, they clearly wanted this first NBA Cup. They absolutely wanted
it. Oh, my God. You see
Anthony
Davis like with the Hulk pose and the I'm him?
Let's talk about that coming up next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Momo, you tweet? No, you sent me a tweet.
Before. Yeah, what's, see that?
Yeah, yeah. What's that say? From a Celtics reporter.
Yeah, this is Celtics reporter Jay King. Imagine if every franchise hung a banner after beating Miles Turner and Buddy Hield in December.
You, Jay King. You can only beat the teams right in front of you. That's what
they
did.
Lost to them.
Yeah, yeah.
In the semifinals.
It was.
Or the quarterfinals.
A huge success. The tournament was huge success. Like, all the people that questioned it. And tons
of
people
did. I was one of them.
Did. Yeah, you did.
I was like, look at these stupid courts.
Ireland did. Michael Thompson did. Everybody. You know what?
It worked.
It worked. There was actual drama associated with a game in December. At a time when we're in the heart of the NFL season.
How many people did you talk to that watched that game on Saturday just because it was a championship game? December? Like, I know a lot of my friends that don't watch games until playoffs.
Right.
My brother doesn't watch games until playoffs. Mm-hmm. He sat down, he watched that game because it was a championship game. And they played it like it was a championship game.
Yeah, they did. And Anthony Davis was obviously unbelievable in that game.
41 and
20 with 5 assists and 5 blocks. It was all in my head somewhere there.
And it doesn't count towards the regular season.
It does not count.
Yeah, that was like the game 83.
Yeah, that was. Don't get credit for the 42 points in that one.
I have Halliburton in my fantasy team. It's like, come on. Let's count those stats.
He was not horrible.
I know, but let's count those stats.
He had 3 turnovers. What's wrong with him?
Here's what I thought watching LeBron James in this tournament.
Yeah.
Which was in Vegas.
Yes.
And Adam Silver even made that point afterwards. LeBron wants to buy into and be the owner of the franchise in Las Vegas.
Yes.
If you are thinking like a player, then you are like, let's win the championship with the $500K. If you're thinking like a future owner, you're thinking, let's make this in-season tournament a real thing and legitimize it, because when the next TV broadcast deal comes up and we sell off the in-season tournament rights to one of the new partners, whether it's ESPN or Turner or Amazon or whatever, this makes it more valuable. This makes it a real thing for someone to buy. That's a future owner talking.
Oh, yeah.
And Adam Silver even said on the podium, now, LeBron, don't think this means you're going to get the Vegas franchise.
You know the what? Yeah, right. That's very funny. Great. But you know what's weird about it is, Ireland told me last week that they're thinking of doing this at home arenas as opposed to a central place like they did this year with Vegas. I actually think that's one of the things that made it was cool. You punch your ticket to go to Vegas. Yeah. I actually thought that was a really cool way to go. But they're thinking about moving the games to home arenas next year, even the semis and the final.
I can see that because then they get the home gate.
I don't feel like it's the same.
No, it's not something... the same. It was cool about going to Vegas.
It was. It was about going to Vegas, which I thought was
cool.
And that
court was awesome.
That was beautiful. Awesome looking court.
But once they get a franchise in Vegas, you can't do it there anymore.
Right, but I mean, where are we, like 5 years down the road?
Well, whatever it is. Yeah. So if
Vegas
going to change
get here
it,
5 years, we get Vegas
probably,
and Seattle?
Yeah. Probably.
If you're going to change it, why not just change it now instead of 5 years down the line when you've been doing it for over and over and over again?
Well, does it
make
always,
the change
I don't
now.
Know that it always has to be Vegas, does it?
I mean, you can move it around.
Oh, gosh, let's not.
Yeah. I mean, for
that's
Ireland.
What happens with the All-Star game, and then all of a sudden we're going to Indiana.
Yeah, you know that's true. All of a sudden you're in, yeah.
I mean,
Utah
for Ireland,
last year.
He didn't know what he was doing all week. He didn't know his schedule at all. Like, am I going to Vegas? Am I not going to Vegas? Am I coming home after the first round? Am I not coming home? Like, he was all over the place. So I guess this.
These sound like high-class problems.
That they are high-class problems.
Yes.
Am I going to Vegas? Oh, man. Twist
well, I mean, going to you know, if you need to know where you're going to be.
I mean, if you're
going
to get tickets to go see U2 at the Sphere.
Yes.
I mean, you got to, you know, get on
hey,
that.
Hey, I wanted to say thank you to my friends Harris Rosner and Annie from VIP Tickets, who were a huge help. Sphere tickets are not easy to get. They are expensive. And, you know, hopefully you find a way to get into it at some point. U2 is there through January, I think, now. And then there's talk of maybe Beyonce or Harry Styles or somebody coming in there next. I got to go this weekend. It's like... I don't even know. Words cannot even describe what I'm seeing. I put some videos in the Mafia. You can see kind of what it looks like. But Sphere videos are now sort of cliche.
I know, you got to be like all professional and stuff. Yeah,
no,
I know.
They've
got we've seen the Sphere
videos. We've seen the Sphere. We know what it looks like. So I'm not going to dwell. But I will say, you know, band of my lifetime, favorite band of all time, U2, in that venue was just a blast.
Yeah.
Just a blast.
I want to know when you ate the gummy.
Oh, well before.
I heard that was.
Well before the concert. Oh, the pictures and the lights. And
everything
it sounded like
was just
Bill
a
Walton
heightened
is
state.
Beautiful. It really was. It really was great. All right, so back to the game. I'll tell you, the things about this game that I really liked, they were plus 42 in the paint, Anthony Davis.
It was like 85-40.
They were plus 23 on the boards, something you don't see the Lakers do a lot. They're generally not a good rebounding team. They've gotten better since they added back all their length, since Rui came back and Cam Reddish is healthy. And they brought everybody but Gabe Vincent essentially is back.
What
and
is
got,
going on with that guy?
I don't know. He's this year's Kendrick Nunn. But a lot of length on the floor. Jared Vanderbilt has made a difference. Guys have roles. I mean, Jared Vanderbilt knows it's to lock somebody up, and he can guard any player on the floor. They are now equipped and close to full strength, and this is the team, and this is the kind of performance we could potentially see in the postseason. This is a team that should be, I would imagine, should be top four in the West.
Should be
top five in the West.
I mean, look, to me, when you watch the Lakers play at the level they played in Vegas, that's like a playoff intensity.
Yes,
that LeBron, AD, all the guys are playing with that playoff intensity. They won because they played great defense.
Yep.
And you can do all the paint points, second chance, all rebound. It's because they played great defense. Indiana had a historically great offense, and the Lakers shut them down. Like, the length they put on Halliburton frustrated him, totally tied him up.
Yeah.
Made him average. I mean, he was still a really good player, but compared to what he'd been doing. And I thought Anthony Davis made Miles Turner is usually among the top in the league in blocks.
Sure.
Didn't look like it on Saturday.
No.
Remember when everyone wanted the Lakers to trade the two first-round picks for Miles Turner?
Right. Well, actually, both those guys, Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, have both been in the mix for the Lakers over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Looks like they made the right choice in getting Vanderbilt and Rui and all the guys that picked up last year.
Okay.
Oh.
We were just talking about him. It's courtesy Sham Strani of The Athletic. Guard Gabe Vincent, hopeful for a return as soon as December 18th for the Lakers home game against the Knicks.
He's been limited in to four games this season because of rehabilitation from left knee effusion. He last played on October 30th, and again, could be ready to return as soon as 1 week from now, December 18th, at home versus the Knicks. So sounds like they will be at 100% full strength by the time they get to the end of the month.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking forward to his shooting. When he played, his shooting was not there.
Correct. He was like 1 for 100 from three.
Yeah, 12% or something.
Yeah, and this is a guy they've been counting on.
They paid him instead of Dennis Schroeder.
You know, you can look at it now. Say Dennis Schroeder was a pesky defender, could run the ball, could run the floor when LeBron wasn't out there, made a difference. So Gabe Vincent now slides into that role. The other good thing that has come from the last couple of weeks is that Austin Reeves is again starting to look like the Austin Reeves that got paid.
He
looked great on Saturday.
Yeah, like 22 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way he was finishing, I mean, look, the Pacers are not a good defensive team.
No.
So a lot of people look good against them.
And the Lakers just owned the paint.
Yes. But Austin, with his handle, his playing with LeBron, like, they look like they figured out how to play together again.
Yes.
I thought in the first couple weeks of the season, they looked uncomfortable together to the point where you had to stagger their minutes almost.
Right.
But now they have to be on the court together.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what. That team can win an NBA championship.
I think they can. It will depend on the matchup because I still don't know how you defend against Jokic. I don't know how you beat Jokic.
Right. By the way, I said that with medium confidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Lakers can win a I think they've got the pieces to be able to win a title. And you're right. Jokic is just...
Yeah, we saw what happened against Embiid a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Jokic is just in a class of his own.
I mean, when they beat Jokic in the bubble,
they
had Dwight Howard.
Sure.
And Dwight won them a game. Yep. I forget which game it was, 3 or 4 or something, but he won them a game with his defense on Jokic. I don't think they have that guy this year. Is it Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood? Christian Wood is DNP the last couple games.
Yeah. Yeah, Christian Wood has just fallen out.
Yeah,
entirely.
Out of the rotation. Ever since Vanderbilt came back, there's no minutes for him. I think they tried playing him alongside AD. Look, he's a good player. He's just not getting any time. He's not in the rotation anymore. And they have to solve the Jokic Embiid dominant center question. Or maybe they'll get lucky and won't be matched up with him in the playoffs. Maybe someone else will take him out.
Yeah.
But that is still the weak point because you saw what happened last year where AD... You lose AD defensively if you put him on Jokic.
Right.
If you put him on Jokic, you can't do all the other things. So in the playoffs last year, it was Vanderbilt, Rui, and LeBron on Jokic. And that's not the best solution.
No, they don't have an obvious... Nobody's got an obvious solution.
No.
I mean, Jokic is just...
Yeah, Phoenix went and got Nurkic to go try to solve... Just at least be big.
Right.
Be big and try to defend him.
Sure.
But I don't know. All the contenders are going to have to come up with some answer for that question.
Yeah, and it's not easy. It's not easy because he is, I mean, you look at it.
He's even just, better this year.
Yeah, he is.
He's Mace, he is leading the league in total points, total rebounds, and total assists.
Crazy. Literally does everything.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you, did you see the new McDonald's? Venture?
No.
The new McDonald's restaurant place?
Oh, no.
But I will tell you about it coming up next. I think it sounds messed up. All right. I am very proud to be working with the L.A. County Department of Mental Health. And normally, I've been very honest about my mental health issues over the years, and it's been challenging. 25 years ago was when I was diagnosed as bipolar 1. And I've tried to talk about it on the air because I know a lot of people out there struggle with mental health issues, whether it's you feel overwhelmed or depressed or lonely or you've got anxiety, especially this time of year.
Yep.
And the LA County Department of Mental Health is here to help no matter what's going on with you right now. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling anxious, here's a way to deal with that. There's a 24/7 hotline. It's 800-854-7771. It's 800-854-7771. It is the holiday season. You want to be feeling good. And if you need help, you can also go to their website, dmh.lacounty.gov. dmh.lacounty.gov. The LA County Department of Mental Health is here for you for hope, recovery, and well-being. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Momo's in for Ireland today. Ireland is on his way to Texas, where the
Mavericks
are going to be. Yeah, Mavericks tomorrow.
No Kyrie Irving, probably.
But Luka's been...
Luka.
He's been
Kyrie's out with a bruised heel. I think he'll be out for a little bit.
So we got that game coming up for you tomorrow. In the meantime, Ireland's on a plane flying somewhere. So, you know, I have a friend. Yeah, I'll talk about this.
Okay.
I have a friend who just bought a timeshare. Now, I got to be honest. When I flip around the radio, there are a lot of places I hear ads for, we can get you out of your timeshare.
Totally.
So why do you buy one when you know that people are trying to get out of it?
I don't know.
Have you ever thought about buying a timeshare?
Well, I have a friend who has a timeshare, and she's really into the timeshare thing.
She is, okay.
Like, she has one in Kauai, and then... I think she goes to this timeshare every year for like 3 weeks. She takes like a 3 week vacation to Kauai. And then some of the time she trades her timeshare with others, like the rest of the year.
Right.
She gives her days or weeks to other people, and then she'll go to like somebody else's timeshare in Sedona. Right. So you got to get good at it.
Yeah, it sounds like a hassle to me.
It feels like you're just going on vacation to the same place all the time.
Right. That's what it is. I'll just say, my brother's got one. He just goes to Vegas. It's like just go to a hotel room when you get there.
I know, right?
I don't understand.
I mean, I guess you don't have to bring your stuff, but then you kind of want to bring some stuff.
Yeah. Bergman, the timeshare thing is hard for me to understand why somebody would do it when I hear all these ads saying, we'll get you out of it.
Yeah, I don't understand. I have a friend that has a timeshare, and he loves it. And he goes up to like Big Bear and a couple other places.
So his goes all over the place.
It's like I think it's with a certain hotel or something like that.
Yeah,
right, right. Bounce around. But he loves it, and I've just never understood it.
Yeah.
He's the only person I know that says, I like my timeshare.
Yeah. Now, Momo, you're going. You're hitting the road this week, huh?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, one of my favorite
places.
This
was like a really
Bergman's favorite place.
This is like a super impulsive thing that I did.
Nice.
Like the lady I work out with, she has like a group of women that she takes on retreats once a year.
Right.
She's like, I wish you could come on my retreat. I was like, when is it? And then I just said, yeah, let me see if I can do that. It's in Costa Rica. I've never been.
Oh, it's so great.
I don't really know anyone I'm going with. I'm going for like 4 or 5 days.
Good for you. That's actually good for you. That's
going
like
by myself.
When I go off and do a yoga retreat, that's exactly the kind of experience.
I mean, I kind of know some of the girls. I work out with them. But like, how well do you know somebody that you work out with? So I'll either make friends or I'll be reading books and kept binging. And I have some work to do. I have some projects to work
on. Don't work down there.
Oh yeah,
you're
maybe.
You're on retreat. You're on vacation.
On retreat, we're gonna work out. We're gonna go hike to waterfalls and stuff.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's
eat
great.
Healthy food and
that's great.
It's gonna be great.
That's great. I don't know if anybody heard the news, but Shohei Ohtani is a Dodger.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Is it official?
Just confirmed by J.P. Hornstra.
Then it's real. God. That means it's totally real.
Mace, the poor guy.
Did it to himself.
I know. He went really far.
On the tweet, he said, this is not a drill.
This is not a drill.
All caps.
He went full force and then
that was
down.
Like Thelma and Louise.
It was a drill. It was a drill, apparently.
It was a drill.
So, yeah, I feel bad for the guy. I hope he comes through it okay.
Seems like a nice person.
People get stuff wrong.
Yeah.
That's a really bad one. That's going to stick.
Yeah, that's going to it's going to stick.
It's sort of like...
that's what you're known for now.
When John Heyman gets things wrong one after another, mm-hmm. you just learn to not trust the New York Post for your sports. That's
I don't know where he is. I don't know which one.
Yeah, he's at New York Post.
He's at the New York Post.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's at New York Post. Been to SI. Well, at least.
Yeah, he's a bouncer. SI. I don't trust SI for anything
anymore.
AI
stuff.
By the way, this is the whole thing. I don't trust J.P. Hornstra. I don't trust SI. I mean,
Dodgers Nation.
Dodgers Nation. It's like, if you're going to do it, be right about it, because otherwise you're going to, and in the case of SI, the fake profiles
all,
and the AI writing articles, I can
it's
never
over.
Take SI.
No.
Like, I will assume that the swimsuit issue is somehow some composite of women put together through AI, and it's not actually a
it's
real
like
person.
The magazine version of her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I saw a Tom Verducci article today from SI. And
a real
like,
one?
I don't know if I want to read that. I like Tom Verducci.
Tom's great.
But is it Is it real?
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
I mean, maybe
he's like the only one. Yeah.
Maybe he's not there, and they're just using his
name.
AI.
Maybe they're just using his name.
I mean, what's the Mark Twain quote about reputation? It takes a lifetime to build up and a moment to destroy. Something. It's some version of that.
What's that expression? That's a great expression. That's not.
I wish I could nail that quote off the top of my head.
But it is good.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one.
Do I get points for knowing that it was kind of like that?
I'm
in the vicinity.
I get it. And if it was
somebody
actually
Google
Mark
it.
Twain,
a rumor goes all the way around the world before the truth takes its pants off.
Yeah,
have you heard that?
I think it puts its pants on.
Puts its pants on.
Yeah.
Oh.
Pants are on. Bergman, look this up.
Come on, somebody.
Come on,
I can Google it. Fine.
Somebody.
What was it? What was yours, Momo?
Reputation.
Reputation takes a lifetime to build and a moment to destroy. Something like that.
That's what you said.
I actually think that's probably right.
It takes 20 years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to ruin
it. And by the way, this is the original Churchill.
Who said it?
It was Warren Buffett. Winston Churchill.
A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get
Churchill?
Its chance on.
I thought that was Mark Twain.
Nope.
Oh, and Will Rogers says it takes a lifetime to build a good reputation, but you can lose it in a minute. So there's
okay.
many
there
people
you go.
Saying it.
Yeah, there's.
You know what? It's just a really good quote that a lot of people have plagiarized.
Yeah, a lot of people have worked from that.
They've done their own riff on it.
Warren Buffett. No, Mark Twain, but he probably did.
He probably do the Mark Twain reputation quote.
Okay.
Just Google that.
You know what's funny is, like, so Friday was a terrible day.
It really was.
Because
I thought it was over. I was so sad.
I was convinced. You and I talked 4 times that day.
Oh yeah, you and I are going back. I think I believe it.
It's I think he's right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Mark Twain: give a man a reputation as an early riser, and he can sleep till noon.
That's not a good quote.
No, that's
the reputation quote
from Mark Twain. So it wasn't like
it was close. You had a guy.
The other one was better.
Will Rogers.
Will Rogers quote was really good.
Yeah.
I still think the Winston Churchill one is great.
I don't think it was Winston Churchill.
I'm looking at
the
Winston
internet?
Churchill. A lie gets halfway around the world
on what's
before
the, site?
The truth has a chance to get its pants on. It's credited to Winston Churchill. It's from Brainy Quote.
Brainy Quote's okay. I've heard of that.
Are they AI too?
Come on, just say it.
No, I don't want
to just say I said it.
Oh yeah, Jorge.
That quote is from?
He says it's from JP.
Oh, that's so bad. You guys.
Stop it. We got to lay off. I'm starting to feel guilty.
He went to a blog and lied.
Nah, and I'm starting to feel guilty.
It wasn't a lie.
It wasn't a lie.
He's super wrong.
Shohei the homie.
Shohei my homie. Exactly. That's so great.
That is a great rhyme. All right, it's the season of winning on 710 ESPN. Keep on listening for Michelle Smallman to tell you to be caller number 7. If you're it, you got a chance to win a holiday box in the 710 studio. You can win fabulous prizes like Lakers tickets, hockey tickets, tickets to the LA Bowl presented by Gronk, Sierra Subaru of Monrovia gift packs, Island gift cards, more. 12 days of 710 on 710 ESPN. Your chance to win can come at any time. All right, coming up next, before you can do some What's Up Fool, Bergman's got some stuff to throw at us. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Morales. All right, so Parker Bell helped me with some of these.
Some
of these are going to be from Parker.
P-Bell.
Thank you very much, P-Bell.
You're being judged now.
We'll find out if we thank you very much.
Yeah.
So this is coming in. This is the first one he has for me. It's as of 1:30 p.m. today, he just got the store notification. MLBShop.com is selling Shohei Ohtani Dodger gear. It's officially available, $346 for an authentic jersey pre-order and $134.99 for a replica jersey. Would you even think about getting an Ohtani jersey for that
$349
much money?
For a real jersey.
A real jersey is $346.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I have a real jersey. I think I've got a replica jersey.
Probably.
But
still, that's $135.
It's a lot of money.
$135 sounds normal.
$135 sounds
for a replica?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I mean, how are you going to know the difference? It probably
feels
you've
really seen
dry.
My Kershaw jersey. Is that real or is that replica?
That's a replica.
That's a replica. Yeah.
But who's going to come up to you in the stadium and be like, oh, is that authentic? You know, nobody ever does.
Yeah.
How many people buy the real ones anyway?
Yeah.
I'm pro replica.
Yeah.
Get the replica. It's cheaper.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
Seriously. It looks just as good.
And nobody will know the difference.
Yeah.
You want to say authentic on there.
Yeah.
Because people are looking for the
authentic. Exactly.
I'm a real one.
No, what's real ones buy replicas.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. All right, so I thought this was just kind of weird. Browns quarterback Joe Flacco had a great game yesterday.
He did.
Named the starter the rest of the year.
Named him the starter the rest of the year. However, they also just reverted him back to the practice squad. So what? If he wants, he can go sign with another team. He's not going to. He wants to stay in Cleveland. They named him the starter, all that. But why would you put him on the practice squad if you named him the starter the rest of the year?
Feels like roster trickery.
I have absolutely no clue whatsoever what's going on.
That's weird, though, right?
Why would you move him to the practice squad, even briefly? You know he's going to be your starter on
Sunday. It feels like one of those things where the Dodgers, the Lakers have some guy on the two-way contract, and they go back and forth between the South Bay Lakers and the Lakers.
Yeah, right.
You know, it feels like one of those things that keep a roster spot open for somebody else. And
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Joe Flacco is clearly going to be the starter for them. Had a great game yesterday, and Cleveland certainly in the chase for everything. I went back and, Lucas Haversick would wound up being the kicker to the Rams Rams.
He made every kick, I think.
He made all his kicks. Yes, he did. Mason Crosby was signed to the practice squad. I'm all ready for Mason Crosby to kick. McVay said he was keeping Haversick on the roster. Haversick ended up being the guy. So, yeah, they're playing some sort of transaction game that I don't fully understand. Bergman, can you explain exactly what's going on?
No,
there's
no
chance.
Is that why you asked us?
No, yeah. I was asking why anything like that would happen. But there's teams that's going to need a quarterback.
Right.
Like, I mean, the Browns are in the playoffs. I think they're, as of right now,
as of the moment. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Whoa! But like Houston,
Is this breaking news?
Yeah. Like real breaking
news? Well, I don't know. But it's pretty interesting.
When in doubt,
hit the button.
Okay. As long as this loads, hurry up.
Uh-oh.
Fabian Ardaya from The Athletic covers the
writer.
Dodgers.
Yep.
He was saying on Twitter that Shohei Ohtani will defer $68 million per year of his $70 million annual salary.
Wait, down to $2
million?
$2 million? No, that doesn't make any sense.
That cannot be. One more time.
Fabian Ardaya, who writes for The Athletic, covers the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Exclusive at The Athletic, Shohei Ohtani will defer $68 million a year of his $70 million annual salary over the course of his 10-year $700 million deal, allowing the team to keep spending, according to a person briefed on the terms.
Wait a minute. So he's getting $2 million a year
against the cap,
and the rest of it is deferred?
For 10 years. He's making $2 million a year.
He's deferring $680 million?
He's going to make $20 million over the time.
Ohtani agreed to defer all but $2 million of his annual salary until after the completion of the contract.
Whoa.
The deferred money is to be paid out without interest.
Without interest?
Without interest from 2034 to 2043.
This is unbelievable.
That
means they have Shohei Ohtani for $2 million this year. He's deferring $680 million.
$2 million for 10 years, which means they can go sign Yamamoto.
Yep.
They can go sign whoever they want.
Wow.
This guy wants to win.
He's saying, just give me $2 million. Go spend the $68 million somewhere else to get me some help to be able to win a World Series championship. This guy is just competitive as hell.
Maybe that's why he put no opt-outs in, so neither one of them can get out.
Well, no,
it goes to the end, and then they pay everything out afterwards.
$680 million after the deal's over.
It sounds like, 10 years after the deal is over? So
yeah, for the next 9 years afterwards.
So, I mean, for these 10 years, fantastic, but then the next 10 years, you're going to be spending a ton of money.
Wait a minute, you lose money. Let's think about this for a second.
I'm just making sure that this is
when he starts getting the deferred money. I'm moving ahead.
Wow.
When he starts getting the deferred money, does that hit the cap?
You would think so. Why wouldn't it? Did Bobby Bonilla's $1 million a year hit the cap?
I don't know if it hits the cap or not.
If it doesn't hit the cap, then it's the most amazing contract in the history of contracts.
Okay, so let's stop and think about this.
$2 million a year.
What's up, fool's over.
So Shohei Ohtani signed a 10-year, $700 million contract. He is deferring $680 million of that to after the deal is done, meaning the Dodgers will only have $2 million against the cap for Ohtani each year for the next 10.
Well,
that's what it says.
Yeah, he's deferring it, but does that mean it doesn't count against the cap? I don't know how that works in baseball. It just means it's not going in his pocket. Look, I'm sure that
if he's not getting the money, how can it go against the cap? In other words, his salary is technically $2 million this year.
I don't ever do this, but I'm going to see if I have Fabian's number, and I'm going to call
him. Yeah, see.
That's crazy. That's unbelievable.
Okay, so if he's only getting... First of all,
he must be making plenty in endorsements.
Oh, I'm sure he's making
He's going to be just fine.
Yeah, he's making a ton. He's got an endless...
That's more than Brady. That's the most I've ever seen an athlete defer. It's got to be the largest deferral in history.
Now, interesting, he's not leaving it on the table.
No.
He's getting it someday. But in the meantime, that guy just flat out wants to win.
Yeah.
That is sheer competitiveness. Just give me $2 million. I'll take the rest down the line. Let's go win a World Series.
I mean.
That's crazy. So, not only is Shohei Ohtani a Dodger, but he's made it possible for them to have the most accomplished power hitter in baseball for just $2 million a year for the next 10.
I mean, and I suppose it was all his idea to defer it.
That is staggering.
It also just reminds me that, like, you know the expression, like, if you can afford to stay at a hotel like this, you don't ask how much it costs?
Right.
If you can afford to defer $68 million a year.
Deferring $68 million a year.
That means you're probably getting $68 million elsewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got loads of endorsements, both in Japan and here.
Yeah.
You know, everything from Seiko to Japan Airlines to everything.
Yeah, he's like, if you can afford to make that choice, it's like, it's nothing to him.
Yeah, God. You know, because earlier I compared him to Brady. Brady never... But Brady didn't defer
never
money.
Never played for $2 million.
No, Brady never deferred money. Brady just said, okay, I'll take less. In this case, $2 million against the Dodgers have got so much flexibility. All this talk of they're in it for Yoshinobu Yamamoto is real. They have the ability to sign the biggest ace, projected ace in this free agent class, Yamamoto, because Ohtani only is taking $2 million this year.
Wow.
That's crazy.
$2 million. Okay, what? Let's just play like a hypothetical game.
Okay.
How much of your salary would you defer? Like, could you just defer? How much? What percent? Let's just say percentage.
Okay.
Could you defer if you knew, like, all right, it'll appreciate, you know, you'll get paid afterwards. That way, if you ever decide to stop doing...
What's the purpose I'm deferring for?
So that you can retire early and you'll still have a salary later.
So I
could you
I
defer will, like half?
So I will defer what I'm making now and take it after I retire.
Yeah.
I guess I'd defer some of that.
Maybe half. Maybe I would think about half.
Right.
So that I could retire 10 years earlier or something.
See, in a lot of ways, this is, you know, it's so weird. I'm thinking about Ohtani through the Trout lens.
Yeah.
Look how competitive Shohei Ohtani is. Not only am I leaving to go play for a team that's in the playoffs every year, but I'm willing to defer $68 million. Oh, you have more?
More. Okay. Can we get the news a little bit?
Yeah, hang on. Let me hear
Give me that sounder again. This is from Jeff Passan at ESPN.
Okay.
Shohei Ohtani's $700 million contract calls for him to be paid only $2 million a year for the next 10 seasons, with $680 million deferred until the end of the deal, sources confirmed to ESPN. The CBT hit on the contract is going to be around $46 million, a huge discount for L.A.
It's a huge discount, but it is $46 million against the cap.
Yeah.
So they still have to pay
So it's not $2 million against the cap. It's $46 million against the cap. That's still an unbelievable
bargain. Well, I mean, that's why, like, when you were saying that, I was like, there's no way that it's only $2 million against
Correct.
The cap.
Correct, yeah.
Because then
everybody would defer, yeah.
Yeah.
There has to be a price to pay.
Still.
$680 million deferred. To help the Dodgers put the right pieces around it.
You know, the Guggenheim Group made all their money in insurance.
Oh, did they? Yeah. That.
I mean, this is literally the definition of insurance, right? Like, this is literally like, defer your money, invest no, and then you'll have it later.
Right.
It's so it. Whew.
Yeah, I'll tell
I've never seen an athlete do anything like that.
Never.
What did Aaron Rodgers do? He did something close to that this year, right?
Aaron Rodgers did do something like that.
He's making $50 million and he deferred 49.
Yeah, he did that.
Getting paid $1 million.
I mean, you've got to be in a very healthy financial position to be able to do this. But think about this logically. If there was a money man in Shohei Ohtani's ear, he would say, no, you want that money in your pocket.
Yeah.
You want it collecting interest or...
You want to invest it, not them.
Correct. In this case, he's saying, you know what? I trust you. I'll take it later. Winning is way more important to me than any other factor.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're in it for Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Not only are we in it for Yamamoto, I think you have to put everything you possibly have. If he's doing this and it was his idea,
sure.
Shohei's idea, you have to reward that. And you have to go after everybody. If you're already fully in with Ohtani, you have to be fully in and go after everybody you can possibly get.
Yeah, and there are lots of... I mean, obviously, they've got to anchor down the rotation now because, you know, they got Bobby Miller and Walker Buehler coming off Tommy John and perhaps Clayton Kershaw next summer, although I saw a nugget linking him to Texas once again, but he's had surgery and is going to take some time. Which means that, you know, some of the names that are out there, Dylan Cease from the White Sox, Corbin Burns, although, Greg, you say Corbin Burns is not going to move from
Milwaukee.
So Bob
Nightingale said that it's unlikely that he's going to be traded, but
Tyler
Glasnow is a likely candidate.
Oh, that's a total Friedman guy.
And Lucas Giolito is another name I've heard a lot.
Terrible,
he was terrible. But Lucas Giolito has been very good.
Yes.
Has been very good.
If they can fix him like they do everybody else.
Yeah, that's just what they do. Wow, that is stunning news. Whew. That really is.
So for all that talk that we had for all this time, we don't know anything about Ohtani. He's never said he actually wants to win. Do we know that Shohei Ohtani actually wants to win or just wants the money? This dude wants to win.
He wants to win.
He wants it. He wants championships, and he wants them now. He was out of the playoffs for 6 years with the Angels, and he wants to get there and win it all. And multiple.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen anything like this.
No.
I don't think we've seen anything like this. That is $680 million deferred.
Deferred.
All right. So there, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, man, competitive as hell. That's what we know. We don't know the name of his dog, but we know he's competitive as hell.
It's not Dodger? I would assume it's Dodger.
Oh, my
Dodger?
God. What if the dog's name is Dodger?
Dodger.
I think it might be
Dodger
something
Dodger the
close.
Dog. That, maybe Buehler. That's why he kept it quiet.
Yeah. Walker Buehler was saying something about it on Twitter.
My dog, Lasorda.
Dodger. I think it's Dodger.
You think his dog's name is Dodger?
Walker Buehler, he might have been joking because he likes to joke around, but Walker Buehler said something about it over the weekend.
Because he very specifically would not reveal the name of
his dog. I feel like there's got to be some very extensive Reddit reporting on this.
Some Reddit reporting?
I mean, this feels like Redditors are going to dive in.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm sure they've
Walker Buehler over the Walker Buehler over the weekend, it's a question. He says, so his dog was named Dodger after all? I'd like to think he was named Walker, but I guess I'll find out soon.
Yeah.
So it could have been.
Could have been.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what is Dodger in Japanese?
I've got that right on the tip of my tongue. Are you kidding
somebody
me?
Knows.
You know what I think it is?
Rhetorically.
Segoy!
It's Segoy.
Segoy. You know, it raises an interesting question
that
I want to get into next.
Ugh.
Plus... Wednesday, I want you to tell me if I'm making a huge mistake with what I'm going to attempt on Wednesday.
Oh,
all coming up for you. Rams lose a heartbreaker. Lakers win the NBA Cup. And the Dodgers win the Ohtani sweepstakes. It's a gigantic, gigantic, mega reaction Monday. And we've got all of it for you. It is presented by Michelob Ultra. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. 2.6 carbs, 96 calories. Spend all day with us. LA's Mega Sports Station, 710 ESPN.